phone call?
Sure, but we're putting this in the podcast.
hold on.
Who do you have to ring?
Some weird
What's the
number?
Male version of
Double
a gynecologist?
Like, it only called for a second, but I was calling a hotel earlier.
Yeah. Oh, this is for a gig.
Hello?
Jamie's on the phone for a gig.
No, hi, who's this? Olivio.
Olivio. Olivio Newton-John.
You're 26.
He's 26. Single.
Sorry, what do you want, man? Oh, I'm listening in on a conversation between a guy and a girl.
Is this like a spoof? Are you getting spoofed? Jamie's right, I do look pale.
Some guy's hitting on a girl, she doesn't know who he is, but it's as if I'm able to hear in on the conversation. And they don't hear me? Yeah. I don't know, I'm fucking... Anyway, sorry about that, man. I thought that had something to do with the hotel I was ringing earlier. And I was like, oh, I need to actually get back to this. Turns out, that's the last thing I need to get back to.
That's hilarious. So you thought that was something to do with a gig, but obviously it's malarkey.
It's absolute malarkey. It's absolute someone malarkey. Just ringing around, I guess, trying to get a lucky date, maybe last minute.
A lucky date. Maybe they wanted you to be, you know... an extra person, they're going for a threesome.
Well, or something. I'm spoken for, so.
Oh, of course, Jamie. Sorry, I forgot about that.
It's okay. It's okay. Don't do it again, though.
I have to change my New Year's plan. So.
Oh, were you meant to be going clubbing, and now you're not.
Yeah, exactly. Timer start. No. Stopwatch. There we go. Start. All right. Dun, dun, dun. It's backwards, is it?
Mm-mm. No.
For me it's backwards. I think it mirrors my one, but anyway, yeah. I got my granddad's ring. I got it resized.
It was too baggy, right?
Oh my god, Jamie! It was unbelievable how big my granddad's fingers are.
What was your granddad's occupation?
He drove trucks for Guinness. So, you know, you see those men...
Yeah, that doesn't make sense, though.
Well, I guess, you know, lifting those kegs off.
Yeah.
And throwing them down. I'm sure there was a lot of incidences where your fingers get pinched in between holding something in a door and the ground and the truck. Stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was delivering kegs. But no,
oh, sorry, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, because I knew nothing about rings... every time I say ring now, I'm going to be making myself laugh. But they measured them in letters. So A is like the smallest and it goes up A, B, C, right? And then like Z is the biggest one, right? So I measured mine. Mine was an M and a half. I'm an M and a half, just so you know. We measured Anna's as well. Anna's an L. So we're only two A's away from perfection. We'll have to delete that one.
And what was the ring originally?
This was his wedding ring.
No, what was the letter? Do you know what letter it was moved from to M?
Oh, right. Yeah, my one, it's... Well, that's the funny part, Jamie. That's the bit I'm getting to.
Oh.
My granddad's fingers were so big, he was off the chart.
What? He was beyond Z?
He was beyond... He was plus two.
What?
So they have this thing, it looks like a pipe, and you know, it's kind of tapered, like it goes like this, and they put the ring onto it, and then they read the side. And the ring just fell to the bottom of the thing, to the very bottom of this long ring measuring tube. I don't know how else to say it. So yeah, they had to take it, they reduced it by 13 sizes.
Whoa.
13 sizes.
That's crazy. Yeah. You'd swear he was like a power lifter or a farmer. I feel like they always have the chunkiest hands.
A rock climber.
Yeah, they've massive. Yeah, people don't realize like how many muscles are in your hands and how you like the more you use it, the more it like Farmers have gigantic hands. They have huge hands. They do.
Well, he's from Westmead, so he's from a farming family.
Yeah.
Once upon a time.
He was Zed plus two.
Zed plus two. Isn't that crazy?
That's
I wish I could actually show you the difference. That was the only bad thing about getting the ring smaller, is that I loved looking at it because it was so big. It was so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like, if I put it on my thumb, there was still like loads of space around it, which is insane. But there you go. It's better to wear it though, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could continue to wear it as a necklace, but if you'd lose it. Yeah. You know, you can put it on your finger. There's been times I've put rings on my fingers that are too baggy just because I like them. And then they end up flying off your finger on a night out, and you're like looking at the ground, you're doing that whole nonsense. It's not worth it when it comes to an heirloom. Heirloom?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I never actually asked how much it was worth. I suppose you don't want to ask, really. She said it was 8 carats. Mm. 18 will be a lot. 8 carats is kind of, that's normal. That's like a 200 euro ring, you know, which probably would have been worth a lot for my grandparents in 1960 when they got it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It still has an engraving on the inside of it with my grandmother's name and the date that they bought it. So I got to keep that. I'll show you. It doesn't look... See, they polished it as well, so it looks really nice in person. You know what I mean? It's shiny. So... See, there's a little bit of it. Yeah. It looks good because the camera can't handle the shine.
You can't handle the shine. No, that's...
See in there? My grandmother's name is in there.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I like a chunky ring. I feel like a lot of times when guys get married, no one cares about the ring. It's all about like the woman with the diamond and everything, and the guys just have like just like a band, like just like a line. I'm like, that's not enough of a ring. Like, where's the ring? Get a ring. Don't get just a line. Yeah, that's not enough to keep the women away. No, you need like something to be like,
like a stamp.
Like, you can't have this. Look at that. Look at this.
This. Yeah,
I want a knuckle knuckle dusters. That's what I want.
A knuckle duster.
Yeah, for each wife.
A special ring. You could get a D ring.
A D ring.
Yeah, and then excuse me, you know, and yeah.
All right.
As in the size D.
I got you. All right. I thought you meant like that. Like it
would, I was like, you know, like.
Hold on, it gets too far into the process before they find the ring, and then you're like, they open it.
Oh, you got a D ring. Why didn't you say?
It's like, I can't tell you until you get to this point. I don't know. This is nonsense, Graham. Absolute nonsense.
This is nonsense.
I look like I'm in hell.
Well, I really like your shirt, Jamie. And,
thank you. It is one of my favorites.
Is this, did you get this for Christmas?
Or this is years old.
It's psychedelic. It's kind of native inspired, I would say.
Yeah,
kind of
has wrong.
A native indigenous pattern to it.
Yeah, you could definitely say that. It was actually a gift off my sister for Christmas a few years ago.
Very nice. Oh, look at that. You got the shiny belt buckle.
Shiny belt buckle. Was in work for a few hours. Got to put on a belt for work. You know what they're like. It's like, working without a belt on.
You're looking very smart, and my original intention because the whole ring thing kind of just happened last minute this morning because we're going into lockdown, and it's me and Anna's anniversary, our dating anniversary at the end of January, and I wanted to get the ring done for their anniversary, but with the lockdown, I was like, okay, today's the only day, so that's why it fucked up my morning. So my intention was to wear the red Adidas. But I don't have the red Adidas on, so we're going to have to leave that to the new year, Jamie.
That's all right. We can do it next week. Listen, my January's free, Graham, if you want to... if we could get back into the swing of this podcast. Yeah, it's been a while.
It has been a while.
So, yeah we've probably talked about it before on the podcast. Mm. You've had a bit of a thing for the red Adidas top and bottom, the full attire...
I went actually beyond that, and I got a red t-shirt.
Okay, right.
I already have Adidas shoes. I bought Adidas red. Socks. Not red they're socks. Not, they're white socks, but they do have like a little red Adidas logo on the white sock.
Okay.
I didn't want to go too red. But having said that, I bought a red Adidas t-shirt.
Yeah.
and a jumper to put underneath the jacket,
which is red.
It's like a,
and then the pants.
Yeah, oh no, boat red. But the
t-shirt, but this isn't going red. Too red.
Well, I didn't go for the socks.
The socks
and the shoes offer a moment of relief.
Of course. From the rest people of the be ride. Like, yeah. Ah. Yeah.
It's good though. It's good. I have to wait for a really dry day though. You can't be walking around Dublin getting splashed by buses. So it's going to be.
No.
You know, I'm going to wait for weddings and funerals and bar mitzvahs to wear this thing. You know what I'm saying? And your birthday, of course, or some other special occasions.
You'd be waiting a while for my birthday now.
Well, yeah. True that. Speaking of you, we need to meet up.
We can't.
So we can see the red. Well, we can meet in between.
We're not allowed to talk about this publically, Graham.
Hang on. I'm going to walk 5K towards Lucan. You're going to walk 5K into town and we're going to
meet at the point.
Meet several meters apart. And I have a present for you, but I want to give it to you before. It needs to see. It's. I don't want to give it away, but it's not gonna get less fresh. Oh God, I'm in a weird mood today.
Did you bake a cake?
No, I didn't bake a cake. Because if I baked a cake, it'd be gone off by now. You know what I mean? But no, I want to give it to you soon.
So if I go 5K and you go 5K, and then
somewhere
that gap?
Around?
Do you throw it? Somewhere. Can you throw it?
I could throw it, yeah.
All right, okay.
I could throw it. So anyway, no, I just wanted to say that to you because, you know, like, less otherwise fish. I'd be like, oh, whatever, I'll give it to you whenever I see you. But, like, it's I don't want it, like, gone bad or something and then it's not the same.
Is it a burrito?
It's not a burrito.
Oh, fuck, I don't want it.
No, it's better than a burrito.
Really? Oh, fuck, I've been craving burritos, man. If it's better than a burrito...
You'll get more longevity out of this than a burrito. Burrito's a one sitting deal, you know what I mean? This is more than one sitting.
Oh yeah, but it's always just even those like 120 seconds are just so good.
120 seconds.
Are we actually going to talk about films at all today? Like, is there any point?
Well,
have you watched stuff?
I've watched stuff.
I more so just wanted to see your face and throw out a new episode.
Ditto. We needed to recap the Christmas. Well, yeah, let's start there. I wrote down a rough.
This episode's messy. It's been a while.
It's okay. Well, you go ahead.
No,
you're drinking.
I'm drinking. I came home from work and I had a beer, and now I'm drinking an Irish coffee. Now let me just say, I made this Irish coffee for media purposes. It was to take a picture for Coffee Conversations.
It's New Year's Eve though, Jamie. You're allowed to drink.
I'm a professional.
You don't have to like apologize for it.
No, I'm just explaining that there's a reason for this.
Yeah.
This early drinking. Also, because I'm not going anywhere. Do you know what I mean? The party has to happen here.
Well, that's it. Once the podcast is done, then that's me freed up then for the rest of the evening. I'll have a few beers.
Nice.
There's Captain Morgan's, those little canned things with the Coke.
Oh, that's what you meant. Rum and Coke. Yeah. I thought you said gin
Rum
and Coke. And I was like,
no, not gin and Coke.
Gin and Coke in a can. Captain Morgan's. I had Captain Morgan's on Christmas Day. My mum got me a noggin. And I was like, all right, thanks. Pretty... It's a bit random, but yeah.
I thought that was an old picture you put up. I saw a picture of you with a noggin.
Yeah.
You put it up on your social media. And I just assumed maybe it was old stock.
No.
From the archives. That's a fresh one.
That's a freshie. That's a freshie.
It's a fresh Captain Morgan. Because I remember you went through, you used to drink that a lot more.
No, I didn't.
Back in the day, didn't
Captain
you?
Captain Morgan's.
I felt like you were always, like, in college, you were like the swashbuckling Jack Sparrow of the group. So you would always have a Captain Morgan's in your boot or something, you know?
I think you're thinking of Buckfast.
Maybe that's what it... But your boots aren't that big, Jamie.
Oh, they're pretty... I don't know.
They are big. They are pretty big. So what did you watch? Did you actually watch anything for Christmas?
No, I did. I actually did. I watched... we saw Soul advertised on Disney Plus.
Ah, okay. Well, we can both talk about Soul.
Excellent.
Because
you watched it.
We watched it Stephen's Day when we got back home that night. And it was supposed to be released in the cinema.
Mm.
I think my impression was Instant Classic wish I had seen it in the cinema.
Yeah.
How can Pixar keep making such original content?
Mm.
Like, it was so good. For yeah. Especially, you know, like, just the whole idea, and even how the animation looked with all the Pixar things. Not Pixar things. They looked like Picasso drawings, you know, the Jerry and Terry and all the...
Yes!
The counselors. Not the counselors, the people above the counselors.
The... energy of the universe. The
yes.
What were they? The calculations of the universe. I don't know what you call them. No, well, yeah, it was like one was the calculation and the other one was like the emotions of the universe or something like yes. that. But yeah, it was a fantastic idea. Incredibly deep and yet so approachable yes. and silly and fun. And great takeaway. The, you know, just to kind of, you know, I think sometimes we can get a bit caught up in, like, what's our purpose? What's the meaning of our lives? You know, what's the one yeah. thing I'm good at? Because, like, but then what happens if that thing is taken away? Then your whole identity just dismantles, really.
Yeah.
I
think it's a very great lesson that they were trying to distill.
Yeah, that it's actually, it's not about you being this, like, although it's great to have a purpose and to be, like, you know, to find that purpose and become great at it and then share it with the world, whether that be, you know, if you're big as an artist or whatever, but, like, not everyone has that. And also, that's not even necessarily important. It's kind of like just about being yeah. here, being present, enjoying the little things. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful film. Such a nice Christmas movie to watch.
Exactly. And it wasn't, yeah, it didn't hammer you over the head with anything. Mm-hmm. And it was like non-religious either. It was like spiritual. Mm-hmm. They found a way to kind of deal with, I wouldn't really call it the afterlife. It was like kind of a pre-death or pre-life, a sort of limbo land, and mm-hmm. it was kind of like really nice and just funny. Like, they managed to keep it consistently funny throughout, you know what I mean? Like, and like yeah. it fell into kind of familiar tropes. There was bits of it that reminded me of Wally. Remember when him and I didn't do a deep dive on this, so I forget the names, but the main character, and then there was when he's trying to counsel the other spirit that doesn't want to go to Earth and become a human, and she goes into the cat, played by Tina Fey. Tina Fey goes into him and he goes into the cat, and then there's kind of like they're running around the city, and like that was a great just segment in the middle of this film that yeah. could have been almost, you know, a film of itself. You know, you can imagine that as like an episodic series
mm-hmm.
of this, of the cat and the guy and all the funny things that they, you know, they get up to. But it was just so good, like the whole structure of everything, the setup, all the way through to the end.
That's brilliant. It was Tina Fey. Or
I don't know who did the main voice. Is it Jamie Foxx? Jamie Foxx might do the main voice.
Yes, I think it was actually.
Mm.
And
I believe Graham Norton does a voice as well as the spiritual guy.
Again, yeah, I hadn't looked into this, but I'm pretty sure Graham Norton is the guy who's like spinning the sign. That like he has a very distinctful voice. I'm just double checking here. Yeah, so Jamie Foxx is Joe, Tina Fey is 22, Graham Norton is Moonwind. Richard Ayoade. I knew he was the counselor of Jerry. He has that beautiful kind of like nerdy posh.
Yeah.
Smooth accent.
Something cheeky behind it as well, I always
Questlove, yeah. Yeah, no, great. Rashida Jones? No. Redessa Jones, I don't know. Anyway, just fucking great film overall. I really, really enjoyed it. But
Graham Norton, I think it's a good time to stake a case that Graham Norton really needs to... I hope, obviously, like, he must have went for an audition or something. I don't know how... You know what I mean? Like, he's a big presenter. He's become, I think, popular enough that people in the States are aware of who he is as a British... a British presenter, as, you know, he works for British shows How the fuck do I say this?
You can't, Graham.
An Irish presenter broadcasting from a major network in Britain.
It depends. Where's Graham originally from?
He's from West Cork, I believe.
Oh, West Cork. Oh, he is from the Republic. Okay. Right, and then he went to England.
It's not like he was born in Antrim and then we're both trying to claim him.
That's what I mean.
Proper Irish, yeah.
Cork? I didn't think he had a very Cork accent. Anyway.
It's probably...
But no, he's incredible. He has written books and children?
I have some of his books here. I just haven't... has he read... I only know of... He has three novels out that I know of.
And he started a wine company that apparently is really good. His wine is meant to be like... Really, like, just fucking great shit. And now he's acting. And the weird thing is like, he didn't sound like... Not that I think of Graham... I don't know what age Graham Norton is, but I don't think of him as, like, an old guy. But the fact that he played some kind of young hippie in the animation and pulled it off, it was like... You know, voice acting isn't easy. Obviously, you can hide behind the fact that no one sees your face and you could be like, I'm anyone. But you're not. But you really have to sell it with your voice. It's tough, like...
I hope this is the beginning of him getting a lot more work, because that'd I think be it'd be great if he started popping up in films. Like, I don't understand why he hasn't been in films. Like, there's always character parts, you know, like of a best friend or a side character in, like, a, you know, a film like Devil Wears Prada or something.
Yeah.
You can imagine Graham Norton popping
that'd
up.
That'd be great.
In a little a side character as that. Yeah. And I hope
Devil Wears Prada gets, too.
If he wants it. I hope he's Meryl able to Streep move into Graham those Norton. Roles.
That'd be fantastic to see them across
it
the table.
Itself.
It does, doesn't it? That's what just walk into the producer's room and be like, Meryl Streep, Graham Norton. Yeah. Here's 50 billion. Go make it.
Tom Cruise is going to produce it.
Oh, God. We haven't, it's been a while. We haven't talked about anything, have we?
We haven't talked about Tom Cruise screaming. I don't even know if I care that much anymore about it.
I think we've talked about it a good few times within the last episode. That it's been a while, man, since we've done this. What's happened in the world? Well, the year's finished. 2020 is done.
This is the last day of 2020.
Congrats, you made it.
It's actually, this is more momentous probably than any other than the millennium. This is probably the most significant change.
2012.
Last year. 2012 was
people
kind
thought
of
the world was going to end as well.
Yeah, but we knew it wasn't, you know. But this time it's like last year was quite big because it was like new decade, what's gonna, you know, the 20s, what's gonna happen? And then of course the virus happened and whatever.
Do you remember what everyone was saying? 2020 perfect vision.
Oh yeah.
Bright future.
Yeah, it's like the first time you hear that joke, oh yeah, and then like the 50th time, it's just like, oh my god, like people.
That was how January 1st was set up. That was the intention, and no one
coincided
knew.
Coincided with the virus.
No one knew it was going to turn into fucking forest fires, followed by a pandemic, followed by massive protests and human rights issues globally around the world. A fucking explosion in Lebanon.
Remember that shit, man? Jesus Christ.
The Chinese are doing to Muslims with the concentration camps. It's been a fucking strange year. No one's talking
just
about
throw that in there.
Is gone out. Yeah, I know. I just kind of slipped
Thank
it in.
Thank God without... Trump is no, he's not gone yet, but he'll be gone in the new year. But we have, he has his signal to leave. For me, the end of the year is a big deal, because it's almost like we're going to leave this year, but we're never going to forget it. Mm. And maybe 21 will be very much like 2020 in a lot of ways, but it's not going to be the same, because that's when, you know, the shit hit the fan. Mm. Maybe 21, the shit will still be on the fan, but it's more dramatic the moment it hits. So I think it's significant that, like, this is the year that, like, we're going to look back to for a very long time.
I think some of the more sensational elements of 2020 will be heightened in 21.
It's very true.
But some of
you mean like protests, maybe, and
oh no! I mean, those are great things. I mean, the sensationalism, the kind of like, let's get the two craziest people on earth and make them box. Like that whole side of things. Or or like the amount of people that have just decided to go into full on porn in 2020. Just like, just the way everyone's
who decided to go into full on porn? Tell me. Anybody I know?
A lot of Insta models, a lot of people are just like, fuck it, we're in a simulation, it doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean? There's just like people, the line between reality and what is just like a video game or just like a I think that line was blurred in 2020. And I think some of that was part of the trauma of 2020. Yeah. But I think it's going to continue in 21, just without all the kind of global dramatics, if that makes sense.
That's crazy.
So maybe I didn't some know of the that, fun aspects. I would like the team
to continue.
It makes
sense, though.
Yeah. The world will become its own reality show on steroids.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. I mean, but the porn thing, though, it makes sense, but I'm kind of shocked that, like, yeah, the Insta models are just being dragged into porn now. It's just so much money, they can't help themselves.
Yeah, and then OnlyFans and everything. I mean, if you think about what people will do for views already in social media, and especially like our age and younger, how they kind of are more, I wouldn't say narcissistic, but we have a more kind of a comfortableness with wanting that online attention. You look at the views YouTube makes, and then you look at like most videos on porn, and it's like double, triple what YouTube would make. And so people are going to, I think in the next 5 years, you're going to see a huge growth of people making videos of that rather than YouTube as a way of making money, and also because everyone's a bit more comfortable with the fact that we all have sex, and people get more comfortable with just putting them, you know, their online persona. And so it's a weird thing to kind of discuss, but in another way it's also like, oh wait, of course everyone's going to get more comfortable with that, because that's what a progressive society maybe looks like.
But is it a good thing as a society if
yes or no
more people are sitting around watching porn? That sounds like it could be a bad thing.
Yeah, pandemic, man. You know, I think that's what it did. It pushed more of that. It pushed more people into watching it, more people into being comfortable.
I guess so. I don't know. I've never been in really any relationship like that where it's like, oh, let's sit down and watch loads of porn together. You know? I mean, that's never been my cup of tea. No, I get it, though. Not that
Wait,
I've
so
never
you don't
had...
want to review one for the next episode?
Wait, this is 50 porn flicks of Gray and Jay. We're going to start
reviewing. We already
porn
had
film
the
film
name next. Ready for this. It's
exactly.
As if it's...
But you know what I mean? Like, not that I've never watched something with somebody else, but it's never been like a thing for me or anybody I've been with. But like, so for me, porn is like more of an isolated thing. It's like a thing that you do by yourself or that other people do by themselves. So for me, when you say like, you know, the numbers are gigantic compared to YouTube, I think if I'm sitting on YouTube all day, that's a problem. So if I'm, you know, you're saying the numbers are bigger on porn, so like that means people are just sitting on Pornhub all day, which sounds like that could be very unhealthy.
Yes, or what they're watching in the short space of time that they're watching is all kind of generated in the same type of way. In the same way that like a YouTube video would go viral, it's just like this is the most popular thing because the people in it are hotter. Their models or their whatever, their YouTube social media influencers. Like there's this type of I think you would call her almost like a modern day art. I don't know what she is. She's kind of incredible, actually. The way she thinks, she's like really fucking smart, and she kind of knows what game she's playing. Her name's Belle Delphine, or at least that's her persona. And over the last few years, she's made kind of herself famous as creating this type of online persona that I guess takes advantage of mostly just thirsty nerd men.
Yeah, okay, so she's tapping into this primal nerd man thing.
But like it's also like beyond that, like a lot of girls have started to kind of follow her style, and a lot of more type of guys are into her. But she's created this kind of version of herself online where she's like I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like a very like gamer thing, if that makes any sense. Like gamer
is it
nerds.
Kind of like what do they call it, that cosplay, you know, the anime thing where people dress up? Is it border into that at all?
Kind of, yeah, it would definitely be within that spectrum of like e-girls. Have you ever heard of e-girls?
E-girls,
like
no.
A gamer,
I'm
girl,
afraid to type a gamer girl.
Like a girl who plays video games. Might have, yeah, you know the way like there's an emo girl, a goth girl,
yeah,
right, you know, you have like a punk boy, there's e-boys, there's e-girls, and an e-girl I guess is a new generation of like gamer girls. But yeah, she's tapped into this, and like in the last few years she has created her own kind of universe around her look, her style, but she's more and more kind of leaning towards sexier stuff. And on Christmas Day, on her OnlyFans, she released a porn video.
Oh my God.
And she's the biggest earner on OnlyFans. She's making millions.
Wow.
And I guess she doesn't care. She's in her young 20s. She can do what she wants with her body. She might regret it, but I think she's kind of got the same view as Elon Musk. This is all a simulation, so fuck it.
I don't know. I can't live by that. But I mean, like,
no. Listen, no, I don't think I could.
It's the same thing that athletes do, though. It's like what athletes do and singers and even actors to a degree. Like, yeah. She's young. She's, like, fit. She's never going to be as fit as she is now in 20 years time, you know what I mean? So like, now's the time for her to cash in on this thing, all of her followers. And I mean, I don't know, you can without getting into the whole porn debate, certainly she's making, it sounds like she's making a lot more money than she would have 30 years ago if she had to go to like a studio, porn studios in California, you know, the whole Boogie Nights Paul Thomas Anderson thing.
Fantastic.
You know what I mean? Yeah, she seems to get all the cash from this. You know what I mean? So certainly she seems to benefit more by doing it this way than by just, you know, being an actress in a film. Mm-hmm. And she gets paid a check and somebody else is making the money off selling all the tapes. But yeah, I don't know. It's a complicated thing. Have you ever heard of Steven Spielberg's daughter? Have you ever heard that story?
I don't know anything about his kids.
I don't know her name. But apparently one of his daughters, she's like in her 20s and she's like a porn actress.
No way.
And he like, you know, obviously he hates it, but it's just so crazy that like one of the greatest directors ever, his daughter decided to get into filmmaking too. Like, it's just bizarre. That's it. I don't know anything more than that. But apparently like he's really like, it's something he can't handle. Like
Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah, is he into porn?
Morpheus.
Yeah.
Oh, he takes porn. That blue pill and he's like up for hours.
He can't stop.
Yeah. No. Morpheus's daughter. Apparently, he said the same thing. Like, apparently, he's talked before about his disappointment for his daughter being in porn. Which I get. I feel like if either of my kids someday were into that, I'd be like, ah. But also, you know, that's an old. I'm not saying I would be comfortable with that. I'm still saying I wouldn't. I don't think I'd like the idea of my own. But then they're adults, so they can kind of, I don't know. It is a big fucking conversation in one way. But yeah, I feel like what I'm trying to say, Graham, is that there's this new wave that has been slowly happening, and then in 2020 really pushed it forward because we are sexual beings and we've been repressed indoors. And I think globally it has created more of like I don't know, it's broken the fourth wall between social media and porn sites, and everything just seems like one. I don't know. It's like sex is in one way so natural and we should all be more comfortable with it. So like, what's the problem with knowing that we all do it? But then to be we're all filming ourselves doing it and putting it up online, that's like a whole other kettle of fish.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like I'm not going to start vlogging myself in that way. Do you know what I mean? I'm still just happy making my little YouTube videos. Yeah. I don't want to cross.
But our kids really more are our kids more comfortable, do you think?
They will be. That's what I'm saying. In this past year, there's already a new, not even just new generation, just even our generation, there's a new conceptual generation of how to approach just sex that's far more comfortable than it was a few years ago. It's just kind of crazy to witness. Plus, the crazy boxing matches that are going to be happening next year. I just think everything is going to be like one mad theatrical. 2021 is going to be crazy, man.
You think so?
I think it's going to be crazier. So? Like I said, less drama, hopefully. People aren't sick and coronavirus, but...
Well...
Touch wood.
I don't want to say I told you so, but I have been saying for a while that I thought the 20s was gonna be a wild decade. I felt like this is it. This is gonna be like our 60s. This is gonna be like I really felt for a long, especially because Trump got in, and then we're heading into this new decade, and the internet, and I was like, this is probably going to be, this has the potential to be the best, the most exciting, the most dramatic decade maybe that we'll live through.
You're hopefully so right. He spearheaded it in a way. Not that he's responsible, but he was almost some like chess piece of the wave that was reality show becoming into politics in the like world country of the world. You know what I mean? Like,
he started the craziness. He changed something in the mentality of the world, the shared consciousness, definitely. Because it was like a Twitter troll is president, a reality star.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that wasn't supposed to happen until like our generation or the generation behind us were in their 40s and 50s. You know what I mean? I didn't think he didn't like grow up some with that. Old. Exactly. He's just some old 7-year-old man who figured out how to work a phone. And did it like it's awful and it's great at the same time, but it's kind of ridiculous. I really thought it would be like way down the road president 100, not president 45 or 46, whatever he is, you know.
Yeah, I think we skipped something in 2020.
Yeah, I think it's the internet. I think there was like that delayed reaction for it to get built up, and then having a few us and the Gen Z's kind of growing up with it. You know what I mean? It took a while for like people to, you know, it took 20 years for people, 30 years for people to grow up properly and integrate into society. So it would have that impact for the first few years at the end of the 90s, the early 90s. Nothing really changed that much. You know what I mean?
I don't even think you could say we grew up with it. I remember playing
half of our childhood.
I remember playing
were really shit computers.
Yeah, on like a PC that had more back than it had front on it. You know what I mean? It was like, it's like this fucking wide.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's 3D.
Yeah, a fucking big box of a screen, and then like the screen's only tiny, and you're playing like some Bugs Bunny game, and you just play that for hours. Solitaire. Or Snake on your phone for hours. Yeah, I don't think that's the same though. I don't think we grew up with like the craziness. It's like we had Snake on our phone.
But when we were in school, we had Bebo, we had Facebook. So we did. That was the start of social media.
By what, 15?
I guess 16? So. At least around then. Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
I remember having it. Like I had Bebo at the very beginning of secondary school, and then about halfway through. Well, pretty in the early days, because I remember halfway through school. I had Facebook. It must have been about halfway.
What? Secondary school.
Yeah. And I had Bebo for years before that. So, and then there was the MSN Messenger. So we were on it. Mm. We were communicating. We were doing shit. Maybe it's not as sophisticated as it is now, but like there was nothing before it. So we were like the first ones to kind of just use it to dick around on, to mess around on.
Yeah, I was kind of late to the game with some of them. I remember like friends setting up a Bebo for me, and then probably again with Facebook. But then I remember like those same friends talking to him about MSN Messenger, and they were like, oh, yeah, we were chatting to people all over the world at 12. And I was like, what? That's crazy. I don't know. For me, in my head, that was like wandering the streets of town as a 12-year-old. To me, that was the same thing. Yeah. It's just like you're just wandering with no parents watching you. You're just like, hello, 8-year-old Scottish man, I'm a 12-year-old girl. What? Don't be doing that.
I guess so. You can just switch off the computer though. You can't switch off the old man when you bump into him in the lane.
No, I guess not.
So remember that show, To Catch a Predator? Remember that one?
Yeah.
You ever watch that crazy? Yeah. That's a crazy show. I went through a period where I watched all of them. Anytime they were on, I'd watch. It was so outrageous. They would catch these people and then jump out with a camera crew in the house. Like, what are you doing? Bring all this drink over. You thought she was 13, and then they just run out of the house and the police would arrest them. Craziness. Like,
it is insane.
The world is crazy. That's the birth of the internet.
Mm.
That's like,
actually, we're full circle.
People are going to use it to do bad things, and then we're going to catch them and make a reality show. That's the world that we live in.
Yeah, that is kind of fucked up, isn't it?
But yeah,
for the right reasons, right? Right. That person isn't just caught, but also embarrassed, And then anyone who would ever think of doing that might also think, oh, I won't do this now because I might get caught. Now, you'd love to think that they don't do it because they actually have some type of epiphany where they realize that that's a shit thing to do. But unfortunately, maybe the fact that they'd get caught is enough to stop it anyway. But there's a... Yeah, I think the birth of the internet was actually porn, though, wasn't it? Again.
Really?
I think it was. I think that's... Yeah, I remember reading that. Yeah.
It always goes back to sex.
It does. I don't want to say unfortunately. Obviously, my Catholic guilt is forcing me to say that. As if it's like some type of negative thing. Like, oh, sinful. No, no, no. But like... Did you ever hear about that thing where the scientists taught monkeys about the transaction of money, like how money works?
Oh, yeah. And I heard about this.
Yeah, the first thing they did was like prostitution. They started like paying for sex. Because like the women understood the value of money and they would use their sex as a way of getting the money, and the guys wanted the sex, so they'd use their money in a way of... It was just like, that's the first thing monkeys did once they understood money.
Yeah, they figured it out. I mean, like...
We're just monkeys.
If that's true, if it works on that basic of a level, you know what I mean, then like it's gonna be a difficult thing to overcome, you know what I mean. There's no quick fix then for that if it's ingrained in us, you know what I mean. If another animal that's really close to us and shares our DNA, if that's the fucking first thing they do, like you know what I mean, like it's it must be so primal then. So you would hope the better angels of our nature somehow win out. You just went holding on to that banana for this exact moment.
Yeah. This whole podcast was actually just so I could get to this joke right now.
All right. Well, we're at 40 minutes, so we can wrap it up here, right?
Yeah, it's
good
done.
Enough. That's good enough. What else did you watch over Christmas, Jamie? Come on,
I watched
talk about porn for the whole...
I know. It's terrible, thing. Isn't it?
Yeah.
But it is. It's fascinating. The porn is almost going to become the new YouTube, I think, in the next 5 years. Like, and I think,
but it's still going to be different. I can't show my nan a Pornhub video on Christmas Day. You know what I mean? I can show her a YouTube video, depending on the video. It's not going to be a family thing. YouTube is kind of like, you know what I mean? People share YouTube videos. I have friends I wouldn't send porn to.
No, and I agree. And I think... there's a lot of people like us, but then I think there's a lot of people that...
Well, that's true. No, I know of people who share porn all the time. Yeah,
they're going to share it. They're going to watch it together. They're going to be in it. They're going to film themselves. I think there's... I don't know how to explain it, but I just see this avenue in the next 5 years where it's actually going to become way more just open in society, and for the best and worst reasons.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Well, the worst reasons are just... people you know maybe being in it, and you know like you said, your own kids being like, you know, the new thing for the next generation is like, oh, they're all filming porn videos. How do we stop them filming porn vlogs?
That's crazy.
What did I watch? The Grinch.
You watched The Grinch, which the one with Jim Carrey.
I love Jim Carrey as the Grinch. I fucking love him as the Grinch. But no, a 2018 animation version.
Oh, okay. Well, me and Anna watched the Jim Carrey Grinch.
Oh, nice.
We didn't watch the new one. It's been years since I seen it. I remember watching it when I was young, and I never got it. I think I was a bit too overwhelmed by Jim Carrey's performance. It's over the top.
It is very over the top. Do you know what, though? I missed it watching the animation.
Really, yeah. It's not as intense, is it?
Jim Carrey, in one way, is such a brilliant actor. Another way, he almost seems over the top. Where you look back at some of his acting and you're like, did he know what he was doing? Or was he just like kind of making silly faces? You know? But the thing is, it worked. Jim Carrey's over the top acting style cannot really be replicated. It just works really well for him. And it does sell as a performance anytime he's been like... you know, just doing these stupid fucking faces. It just works. Like, watching the Grinch animation was brilliant, but I was missing Jim Carrey in that role. I was like, no, this doesn't work with this person's voice without the... I really love Jim Carrey as the Grinch.
But they said, I was reading some stuff online, and the new Grinch, the animated Grinch, was more successful in the cinemas when it came out than the original Grinch. It made far more money. Not that the Jim Carrey one wasn't successful, but the other one made a lot more money. But which I was curious.
I was thinking, like, how did they sell this at the time? You know, how did they sell the original Grinch?
Maybe it was just a bad year for Christmas films, and that was the only one to bring your kids to.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's such a known thing now, the concept of the Grinch. But at the time, I'm sure the books were popular in their own right, but there's kind of like, there's kind of the universe of books, and then there's the universe of movies, if that makes sense. And I feel like for how, like the Grinch, when that came out, what, like 2000 or something?
No, I think it was around then. You're right. It was a long time ago.
Like, it was just a book back then, and yes, it was a Dr. Seuss book, and maybe one of the most popular ones, but it didn't have the franchise that it has now to rely on. But I think he did a fantastic job in that.
Yeah.
How was it looking back and watching it again? It's been years for me, like.
Oh no! Look, it was brilliant, and some people say, like, I think Jim Carrey got praised for his performance. And like the music and how it looked and stuff, but some people shat on Ron Howard, who directed it. They said it was like uneven, and there's certain parts, you know, like the Whoville, and there's some stories between the little girl and her father, and he works in the post office, and they're saying it was unbalanced, which seems unbalanced. Like crazy. Yeah, well, like the whole film is unbalanced. He's crazy. The Whoville people are
unbalanced. How? What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know. It was just some you know, some snippets I read from different reviews, you know, or Guardian, balance, whatever. But these are reviews at the time. I'm sure if they renew the reviews and release new ones, they probably would say it's a classic. I think most people consider that a classic now. But it's so good. But yeah, the whole story about Whoville, and I hear they're all obsessed with materialism and consumerism, is really great. And the little girl is like, this isn't what Christmas is about. And the dad's like maxing out his credit card, and you know, and then all the presents just get fucking thrown in the trash. And then the Grinch goes through it like the next day, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of, the whole thing is kind of, it's so well written. And the Grinch as a character is so like endearing. There's something. And there's a great, I think the best scene in the film is with just a flashback to the
baby to Grinch.
The baby Grinch in school. I don't know, man. One. That kid that they got to play it, and he has like these big, very effeminate like eyelashes and stuff. Yeah. But like he looks crazy with the hair. Like it's really great. It's really like sticks out. It really sticks in your mind. That imagery.
I love the Grinch as a symbol. Because I actually feel like the Grinch every Christmas until a few days before Christmas. And then I actually get into the spirit and the mood. I just... Look, nothing's wrong with being festive. But I just can't stand when like the Halloween ornaments go down. And straight away people start playing Christmas music and singing Christmas stuff. And I'm like, it's not even November.
Yeah.
It's not even my birthday. Do you know what I mean? It has to go Halloween, my birthday, me, Graham. And then... And then fucking Christmas. Jesus Christ, baby Jesus. No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
Or Santa Claus, was that? Fucking mushroom or
Santa
Coca-Cola,
Jesus.
Whoever invented Santa Claus. I don't know if it was Coca-Cola.
It was Coca-Cola.
Or was it in the Netherlands Jesus. Based off that mushroom that apparently you take and then you see like, woo.
I don't know about that.
Well, there was a Saint sometime. Nick. He was some type of saint. Anyway.
That's right, Saint Nicholas.
He did some charity work, gave gifts to like poor kids, and then that became like a thing. Give gifts on...
Anyway. I worked with Santa once.
Oh? You were an elf?
I worked in a restaurant in Galway, and there was a Polish woman who worked there, and her name was Santa. So there you go, I worked with Santa. That's a true story.
That's great, I believe you.
It was funny for like a week when I first started working there, and then, you know, then it was normal. Then it was like, oh, Santa, whatever, help me with this, help me with that. And then like Christmas rolled around, and then you're like, oh yeah, your name's Santa. You know what I mean? It was like, became a whole, you got to enjoy it all again at Christmas time.
Oh, brilliant. I'm sure she loved that.
She didn't seem to be bothered by much, that woman, you know? She was a strong woman.
I worked as Santa? Not the real Santa, because Santa exists, as we know, but, you know, and I could never be him. But I performed as Santa in shopping centres.
Are you saying that for the kids who might be watching this after the porn segment?
I think so, because you know when kids just they love the 50 flicks, they love to know what we think about movies. They want to know what we think about the world and movies. No, Graham, some adults, I know what you're saying. Some adults, of course. Like, you know, they don't know.
Well,
they were never told.
I know some of them. I know some of them.
And then because they were never told, they just keep not being told. And then...
No,
but it was Santa. It was great. I don't know if I was saying this to you recently, but I was reminded by Martin, the guy who used to run these events, that there was one day when I was in Drogheda Shopping Centre as Santa, and I had this Muslim woman and her son come in to the grotto.
Yeah.
And she had like a lovely warm face on her, and she was like, "Hey." And I was like, "Oh." And I'll do my whole voice. "Hello."
That's brilliant. That's good. No,
doing all
that's
that shit.
I can do.
Huh? Yeah, man. Oh no, I think I really got into the role, because like when I took off all my gear at the end of the day, one of the security guards was like, "What the fuck? I thought you were 40, man." And I was like, "No, I'm just a young lad." And he's like, "What the fuck?" It's like, you know, I'm not actually Santa. And he's, I don't know. Yeah, I think just because I kept doing the voice.
And that security guard was Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
In character as a security guard.
It's like, oh my god, that's so complex. Wait, so he thought I was in character even though he was playing a character?
Yeah, and he's like the best actor ever, so that's, you must be even better than him.
That's layers, man. That's layers. I can't even keep up with this.
Yeah. And the kid was Robert De Niro. Anyway, sorry, go on.
While pretending to be an Islamic child. Anyway, the kid came in and I gave a gift, and I was like talking to him a bit, and then obviously I could tell like from the mother's garments that she was Islamic, and so I started saying a few things in Arabic to the kid, and his eyes just like lit up with wonder, and he looked at his mum like, "Oh my god, like Santa speaks Arabic too." You know,
Arabic Santa.
I said a few things.
Done it, like she was probably got home at... That was good for her for like a few days, and then at some point she realized, my child is always going to believe in Santa now, and I'm always going to have to buy gifts until was it a girl or a boy?
It was a boy.
Until this boy is like 50. You know what I mean? Like, because that's like complete proof. That's scientific proof as far as that boy is concerned.
Oh, you can't take that magic away.
That's pretty dope. That's a good one, Jay.
That was cool. But yeah, the Grinch animation, it was good fun. Do you know what? It was slightly different story, and I don't know if it was more based on the book and that maybe the Grinch movie wasn't, or if this was the one that took its own kind of liberties, but it was obviously, overall it was the same story, but it was slightly different. But yeah, it had some really touching moments in it. And again, like you said about being an adult and noticing more things, I don't remember noticing as much of the consumerism of the message that, like, you know, the Grinch is like this shitty, like, "Oh, fuck everyone and their good spirits" in one way, but he's also like kind of like smart in the fact that all these people are just kind of like superficial and just like, "Hey, everything's deadly," you know, and just like, "Buy things and smile," you know, and he's just kind of like real in another way.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, he's a great character because he's like, he's obviously both. But obviously then the Who people don't care about all the things. They wake up and they still are singing and dancing even though there's no things. And he's like, "What the fuck? They're not superficial," you know? And
I think you're right. Message. Well, see, that's what I think is weird, because when I remember as a kid, I always thought, like, aren't the Who people supposed to be kind of like magical and they're kind of fairy like and they have these weird little noses? But watching it again, it's kind of like they made them look kind of magical and they all go around and they smile at each other, but they're kind of fucked up. They kind of like are ignoring all their problems and not really confronting, and they've all been like really mean to the Grinch when he was younger, and that's why he's so fucked up. So even though the Grinch is supposed to be, this grumpy person, it's kind of like he sticks up to, basically, especially with the mayor of Whoville, they're complete hypocrites, you know what I mean? And they're actually not as nice as maybe they appear to be. So there's a great equilibrium in the film by the end of it.
You say balance. Yeah. Balance, peace.
A balanced piece of work there by Jim Carrey.
Didn't know it was a Ron Howard film. Very good.
A Ron Howard, yeah.
It's a brilliant film. Yeah, check it out is. The animation if you're up for it, or maybe not because Christmas is past.
I think I would. I think it'd be an easy one to watch. Yeah. Probably tomorrow when I'm hungover in the morning time. Brilliant. Like watching it, yeah.
What are you and Anna going to do? Are you just going to have a few drinks and play some cards? Are you going to watch a movie? Or you
might watch? Play some cards for the laugh. Yeah. I don't know about a movie. See, the thing is we don't have like TV. So maybe I'll stream something through, as in like RT Player, I mean, like stream a live channel near the time just to get the countdown and to watch a bit of news from around the world. I'm sure they'll be showing, you know, fireworks going off and with the empty streets, you know, so might as well watch it for the crack.
I've one of those lanterns. I just remember now I bought ages ago, like a few months ago, I bought one of those...
Oh, you like you set it into the sky.
Chinese lantern.
Yeah, Chinese lantern.
Chinese New Year. Yeah.
It is Chinese. Yeah. Well, Chinese New Year was, it's at the end of January, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm Irish. Later.
I know, but like, you should save it for Chinese New Year.
When is Chinese New Year? Chinese New Year is...
Like I said, the end of, I bought a new pocket diary.
Ooh.
Just so you know.
Yeah, I've had one of those ones before. That exact one.
The shops are closing down, Jamie.
They are. That's right.
This thing, see, it's supposed to be convenient, but I have to fucking leaf through this thing. Religious count. Dates to remember. Chinese New Year. There we go. Look, it is handy.
Ooh.
February 12th. There you go.
Okay. No, I think I'll set it off today. I'm going to set it off later tonight.
Yeah.
I wanted to show you. I was telling you about... This is what I got for Christmas off the rent, so I'm very thankful
Get
for.
Get up and go diary.
Order in alcohol and socks.
Yeah,
I got a
get up and go. How does it work?
Huh? Well, you just get up and you just go with it.
All right. Okay.
Pretty
much. Does it help you get up and go?
Kinda. Yeah. It's like it's really interesting because like it looks like a book. You know what I mean? As opposed to a diary. I've never had a diary like this, and every month has like different colors to do with seasons and like just kind of motivational kind of affirmations.
So broken down.
Yeah, different goals and shit and kind of. I don't know. It's like almost like a spiritual, motivational diary. And also it's Irish and it's kind of Celtic inside it. I don't know.
I like that.
Just like cool design, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's actually shit. Quite cool.
It's a unique concept.
That's your cup of tea. I think you'll be able to... Will you keep that as like a workout diary or something? Or a general diary?
No.
Will you keep it for a specific... thing, or will you keep it for everything? That's what I'm kind of asking, really.
No, it would have to be kind of just like a diary in the sense of just like planning your days, and then the bits where it asks you to do little things like write about whatever, then obviously you fill that in, but yeah, like there's not like a huge amount of space, do you know what I mean? Like, look,
yeah,
there's like each day, so it'd be more just like
it, yeah,
you know, I'd write down like day one of quarantine 3.0, nothing. You know, and then 40 days after that, I'll write down coffee with grain. You know, it'd be that kind of thing.
Yeah. Hopefully 40 days.
Oh, Jesus.
That will be it.
I think, no, like... 31 days, is it? We're going into a whole month. January itself is quarantined after today.
Yeah, January's gone and then they have to reassess, but it could be longer.
It probably will be.
The numbers are up. I don't know what the numbers were for today. There were more. There were like 1,700. It was 1,700, 1,600.
Jesus Christ.
So they said that it might go up as far as 2,000.
It probably will, because that's a few days delayed.
A 10-day delay. And people were out today and stuff. I was out today. I hold up my hands. I went out and I picked up some stuff before the shops closed.
Ah, yeah, but you weren't picking up like Corona, were you?
Well, see, listen, I just hope people are being smart about it. I'm not going back and visiting my gran or anything, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter if I end up in a supermarket, really, you know what I mean? Like, I know that I'm not putting anyone else at risk. I'm not going to be seeing anybody, any family members or anything, you know what I mean? Because I haven't been able to visit my gran and stuff through it. I saw my gran on Christmas Day, which was nice, but I hadn't seen her for like over a month before that. I probably won't see her now for another month. So yeah, fuck sucks. It. I want to go to lifestyle sports and get fucking running gloves. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? I'm not putting
running
anybody...
gloves.
I got running gloves.
It was snowing this morning, so yeah, you probably do have to be prepared for the weather, man.
I got them yesterday. Oh no, I left them inside.
I need to get them though. Golfing gloves. Gloves. Like,
is it the one glove or the two gloves? Because usually people wear.
I see people glove. With one, but I don't know. Just like if like golfing can fuck up your hands.
You're left-handed. Do you have to get left-handed clubs then?
No, I'm right-handed in golf.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm right-handed at some things. Tennis. Yeah.
Guitar. And what are you left-handed in?
Writing. Pool. I'm left-handed at pool.
But you don't play guitar with your left hand?
No, guitar's right-handed. Man be dexterous, so Graham.
You strum with your right hand?
Yeah, pluck with my left.
Okay, just making sure. Well, that's good. You're ambidextrous at the things where, like, you don't need something special. Like, right? You play pool with your left hand, right?
I play pool with my left hand, yeah.
But you don't need, like, a special pool cue to play with your left hand. But you would need a special guitar. So it's efficient. Yeah. Your ambidextrousness is efficient.
You're right. Yeah, I never need a left anything.
Yeah. Because you can just switch. Same with the golf clubs and stuff. Maybe it was like, oh, I'm going to have to go back to the clubhouse and get a whole new thing. No, fuck it. I'll just do it with my right hand.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, that's a good question. I don't know. I've never really thought about it. I guess I've always just been like, what feels more natural? I remember in school, I was kind of forced to choose when I could have gone either hand.
Yeah.
But the left was always more strong for writing. But no, when it comes to like sports and stuff, my right feels more dominant.
I suppose it makes sense though in school that they want to teach you to write properly, and if you're switching, it's like, oh, you might have two mediocre hands rather than, you know, focus on one, and it'll get stronger and stronger. That does make
sense.
Gives
you a different personality though. You have different handwriting.
I'd say it does. Yeah.
You have different handwriting with different hands, and you think differently. But no, with golfing, like sometimes when you really fucking hit that ball, it like, I don't know, it's almost like doing 50 pull-ups for your first time ever in your life, and you know what, your hands are like stinging. No, it's worse than that. It's like someone whipped your hands. I don't know, maybe I'm doing it wrong, but I'm still getting that ball far. But like I'm like sometimes I hit it and then it's almost like I was whipped in the hands.
So like the reverberation shoots up through your body,
which it shouldn't. I don't think it should. I think
if you get a smooth hit, it should just right through. You don't even feel it. The ball just goes like magic.
Yeah, which it does most of the time, but there's a few times when you hit it and it's almost like I've punched a wall. It's like the ball does go far, but also I feel like I was the ball. You know, it's like something went wrong there, you know? Like it went 200 m, but I'm fucking, so did I.
It's the same in football. I remember when I played football when I was younger, sometimes, you know, you take a shot on goal or something, or you know, somebody would pass it to you, especially if the ball's moving, and you would just hit it and it would feel sweet. You wouldn't even feel it just bounce off the top of your foot. And other times you could score a goal, but you would fucking toe poke it.
Oh,
and
you would feel toe.
And if it was a proper hard fucking leather football, freshly pumped, like you fucking feel like your toe is gone. But it's just the sweet spot. It just feels good.
Yeah, you have to kind of get it
bounce
up a bit. Yeah, I used to bog toe a lot. That's why I stopped striking. I was like, I'll just go in defense.
Bog toe. Okay, listen. Give me a roundup.
That's all I watched.
No, give me a roundup of all of our shows that we did last year lockdown. Would you rate any of them in any particular order? Like, do you have any favorite shows and films that we covered?
I'll tell you now in a minute. Quickly look through the episodes. Yeah. Would you like to tell me yours?
I'll say some my top ones. This is what I put in the top. I put Midnight Gospel. I put I May Destroy You. I put Midsommar. I put Hunger. I put Normal People. I put Queen's Gambit. I put The Boys, and I put Contagion. I know that's a lot.
That's half of them.
It is. Well, that's like 9 of them.
Contagion. Contagion was a good one because it was a great one to start off the podcast. It was a great one to set the tone with, even though it was a bit morbid.
Yeah.
Yeah, Normal People was really interesting to dissect just because it was Irish and the author.
I think I had to include the Irish one, and I think it was a very special film to come out for Irish people.
100%. And we end up doing 3 episodes on it. So it's actually a big part of this podcast, which we probably always should do, you know what I mean? Try and promote Irish things as much as possible. We had our friend Quaku Fortune, who was on the show as our only guest so far.
I have to say that's probably my favorite episode out of all of the ones we did, just because it's the only interview we did and it was good catching up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that was a nice balance of stuff. You know what I mean? And it's always nice talking to Quaku.
Yeah, that's something I'd like to do more in the new year.
50 interviews. I think I want to push for
a few more. Yeah,
someday. Nice. I think we should do, well, when lockdowns are over and we can meet up in person, to be able to sit down, bring different people in, different people from different fields,
mm-hmm.
Different professions, whatever, life experiences, and do something like that. But anyway, that's off topic.
It's perfectly on topic. I totally agree. Yeah, and I hope we can do more of that. I mean, look, if it doesn't, if we're stuck in quarantine even longer because the numbers are terrible, we can always do what we did with Quaku and have people online. It isn't as desirable, but you know,
it's doable.
The Midnight Gospel, I agree with you. That was fantastic. I was not expecting the animation to have as much meaning as it did. Yeah. And it's just such a fresh concept. I don't want to overdo what we've already said about that episode, but that to literally strip apart your interviews in a podcast and then edit them into a 10-20 minute episode and add an animation onto that, which is correlating with what's being said, but also has its own narrative, is just
it was genius, really. I think
it's a new remix of media. That's a
remix is a really great way to put it. It is. It's kind of it's blending stuff. It's taking, it's taking this new podcast form and then it's marrying it into this kind of, I guess, old, you could say, episodic cartoon. It's just such a unique mix, mm-hmm. to blend those things. I think that's usually where great new things come from, is kind of taking maybe a kind of old idea or kind of something that might be more descends from a traditional thing and then marrying it with something that's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Midnight Gospel would be my favorite. Quaku, I would say, is the favorite episode. That would be my favorite thing that we watched.
Mm-hmm.
If I can differentiate it that way, just because it was, especially because it was around the time of like the first lockdown. It was one of the first ones we did. It was when my granddad passed. It was very therapeutic watching that show. It was very spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It was very, that was like the perfect thing for me to watch at that time. You know what I mean? It definitely, it gave me comfort. So that's my gold standard for going into next year, see if anything can beat Midnight Gospel.
Yeah, it just had perfect timing, didn't it? I think for everything going on, the way it talked about meditation and debt and all these important topics at a time when everyone was kind of confused and maybe, and you personally as well, what you were going through, I just think, it was serendipitous for a show like that to come out. And also to be so approachable with the fact that it is kind of funny and has a huge nonsensicalness to it, you know. And then I May Destroy You is fucking powerhouse of a show.
Yes. I think that's I have it in second place. I think it was just so original as well, and just in your face, but in the best way possible, you know?
Yeah.
It was just like not apologizing for being what it just was, what it was.
Really, really strong show. Yeah, it just feels really punchy, the way, like, everything is in it. Everything about it, it just leaves an impact on you that's so, it won't leave you, and in the best kind of way, that I would like to, I'd like to rewatch it at some point. Obviously, the topic in it of date rape isn't something that's an enjoyable, easily approachable subject.
Yeah.
But yeah, in a weird way, it also kind of like this show, like she kind of just keeps going. So it's not like,
Well, that's it. Like, when you said it there...
It's a really fun show in another way, you know?
Yeah, no, it is. Like, I almost forgot that's what it was about until you said it. When I think of the show, I think of her. I think of Arabella. I think of her
dancing,
as like
drugs.
Personality, her kind of like her wit, her charm. Just, you know, her as a character, larger than life. And then, like, everything that happens, the stuff that happens to her, and it's traumatic, and you're rooting for her. But it doesn't, it's like it doesn't define her, you know?
Yeah.
She defines herself.
Yeah,
that's kind of secondary to who she is. That's maybe the power of the show. She doesn't get lost in a story about being abused or anything, you know? It's about her carrying on and ultimately being more empowered from it.
Yeah, you're so right.
Very, very strong.
Yeah, no, that's a super, super powerful show. I definitely want to watch that soon.
Now,
one of my favorite episodes actually was In Person With You, Fear and Loathing in Wonderland.
Oh yeah.
Because that was just such a mad thing for us to do, to almost watch these two films quite close together that had nothing to do with each other and yet had everything to do with each other, and then for us to blend it into one episode where we're looking for these similarities between basically just two psychedelic films.
Psychedelic trips.
And I think that was one of my favourites.
It worked out really well. I think
just a mad tea party of an episode, you know?
I think out of all the ones we did, that would be up there in terms of the quality of the actual podcast, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, I think we dissected both the films quite well, particularly Wonderland. And I think maybe, other films like Hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And what else could I say? Definitely Hunger. I'm not sure about the other things. Definitely Wonderland and Hunger, I think we dissected quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we broke it down and talking about the teams behind it. Because sometimes it can be hard. You can watch a film and enjoy it, but you don't necessarily get what's underneath it. Midsommar as well, I felt like, because I watched it twice, I really kind of got some of what was trying to say underneath the narrative. But, you know, like, other films we did, like Eurovision, were great fun. But that's what they were. It was fun. Like, it was a laugh. Perfect time for it to come out because the Eurovision was cancelled, so everyone got to watch the Will Ferrell film. It was kind of brilliant. I think that was a highlight too. And everybody got, it was one of those occasions kind of like Queen's Gambit where everyone kind of watched it, so you're able to kind of almost like ring up your mom and be like, oh, you saw the Eurovision thing, you know? It was like it was on prime time at 9 o'clock and everyone tuned in back
or
in the
Tiger King. We did that early on in the podcast and that was like a fucking, that almost symbolized the start of quarantine for many people. It was like when people first were locked indoors and all of a sudden Tiger King was on and everyone was watching that.
Rightly or wrongly, maybe. I loved Tiger King, but I did put it in my bottoms. I only have two bottoms. Dirty bottoms, you could say.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Not that I didn't enjoy them. But, you know, I was making the list and I was like, I have to put something at the bottom. What am I going to put at the bottom? I put Tiger King. It was enjoyable, but it was like, it felt a bit exploitative to an extent. Like, it was such a crazy documentary.
Oh, yeah.
And we were forced to watch a suicide reaction video.
Yes.
So that was something that was really fucked up. But sure, listen, I think the whole point of the show is that it's fucked up. It's like a tabloid guy running around with tigers and guns. So we got what we paid for, really. You know what I mean? If you clicked on it, you kind of knew what you were getting yourself into. But so I'm not saying, I don't want to say I didn't like it. I did like it. I enjoyed it. It was terrible, but I enjoyed it. It was so bad, it was fucking good. You know what I mean? And what else? Blind Manor in there. I put Blind...
Really?
You see, yeah.
Not that
I hate it. People are going to think I'm hating it.
Or the watching of the show.
Oh, I enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
The ending fucked me up.
You didn't like that ending.
I had to put it down the bottom just for the ending.
Do you know what? You're so right. I've been saying this for years, and it's a big fucking faux pas for me. You can have a really great film, and if you fuck up the ending for me, I'm literally going to walk out of cinema with that bad taste in my mouth and just be like,
fuck that. The ending's the hardest thing in a film.
I think it can be, yeah. I mean, like, some okay films have a great ending, and it brings the whole thing up. Because it's the last thing you remember. You know, it's like a business meeting or something. You know what I mean? You always want to leave people feeling good when you leave the room. Do you know what I mean? That's the last thing you want people to remember, that they felt good interacting with you. Do you
know what I mean? It's like a first impression thing. Yeah. How they feel when they walk out, it might hang on them longer than if you amaze them in the first 20 minutes and then it's dog shit for the next hour, you know? Yeah. I think that's true.
Yeah, Blind Manor's ending was a bit fucking mank.
Yeah, it was just a bit too much force. There was nothing wrong with, like, the content of the ending, the story that they were trying to tell. It was just that force feeding at the end, which is, yeah, maybe I should take a chill pill, you know, because maybe they're trying to get some younger audiences to enjoy it and they want to just explain it a bit more so everybody gets to, you know, enjoy the ending, understand the ending in the same way. But, you know, like, yeah, I pretty much enjoyed everything we watched this year. It wasn't like we were forced to watch anything. I think maybe someday if we are still doing the podcast and we can go see a film in the cinema, you know, a new release.
We did.
You might have.
We did Tenet. We did Tenet.
Oh, we did do Tenet. That's
when,
true. That's
when
true.
the first quarantine opened up, we both went and saw Tenet separately. And we got to review that, which was great. That was a fresh cinematic release rather than a streaming service release.
Well, yeah, film 2020.
We've kind of done it all. This is like our Spotify highlights now. That's what we're doing. We're literally going through our year of episodes.
Well, Tenet was very special because it was that cinema release. It was really
Tenet.
In a year with very few cinema highlights, because I love going to the cinema. That was a big one because me and Annie got into the IFI. We saw it on the 70mm. Which was just, you know, it just kind of wet my palate a little bit, made me a little bit happy.
Great. Fucking A, man.
But, you know, we did get in again. Other films, and just while we're talking about 2020, me and Anna went to see Mank with Gary Oldman. Now, that's up on Netflix now. It's the story of the screenwriter of Citizen Kane.
Oh, yeah.
So they released it for one day in the cinemas and then it was up on Netflix on the same day. So we just said, fuck it, let's go to the cinema and see it because it was in between the lockdowns. So I'm glad we did that in the end. That's a really good film. It takes patience, though. Be well rested before you watch it. And maybe read the Wikipedia page on Orson Welles and on Citizen Kane to give yourself a background. You know, because it's a heavy story and there's a lot of characters and moving. And it's old school, black and white. It's very slow. The acting style is like they made it like 1940s, 50s film. You know what I mean? It's slow move. Like the way there's a different style of acting back in the old school days. It's like all the actors are kind of doing that old style and stuff, you know.
It's more theatrical, you could say, right?
Yeah, there's a theatricality in it, yeah. Another film I saw. Go on, sorry.
Oh yeah, no, I was just gonna say I watched Pixie there a few weeks ago when things felt normal again, you know, at the start of December, whenever it was.
Pixie, that was one of the first ones that they cancelled the release of, wasn't it?
No, I saw it.
Excuse me. James Bond was the first film where they cancelled it and they're like, no, 2021. Pixie was the first one they cancelled the cinematic release and put it onto streaming.
I saw it in cinema.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. I had an empty cinema to myself in Liffey Valley and I watched Pixie.
Oh. Sorry, excuse me.
Huh.
No, I thought that they'd cancelled it
soon after because obviously like no one was watching it. I had the cinema to myself. Yeah, just one night I was finishing up some Christmas shopping and I went and saw Pixie. Had a date with myself, had some food, had some drinks, went to the cinema. It's an Irish film. To avenge her mother's debt, Pixie masterminds a heist but must flee across Ireland from gangsters, take on the patriarchy, and choose her own destiny. Okay.
It's an Irish film.
It's an Irish film.
I must be confused. The film I'm thinking of is in Pixie. It must be a different film.
Yeah, no, this is definitely Irish. It takes place in Sligo, I think Sligo.
And is it like 2D animation or is it like computer generated? Is it like a cartoon?
No. It's a real life film. Real live action.
It's a live action? Why did I think it was an animation?
I don't know, man.
I've gotten so confused with this Pixie film.
Yeah, did I not send you a trailer? Does like Alec Baldwin plays a priest in it?
Oh yeah,
like
you a priest sent me the gangster. Trailer. I just don't. When I think of that film, we talked about this. I'm so sorry. When you say Pixie, I imagine a kids film with colorful characters. They're in Pixie Land. That's what I and because I was watching a show about
you're taking film. A Pixar.
Maybe yeah. No, I was watching a show about like 2020, you know, films in 2020, and they're talking about this film that looked like it had a bunch of pixies in it and that they cancelled the release of.
But what is a pixie? So I just know a pixie is a girl with like short hair, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like so anyway, haircut. I just got completely confused between this Alec Baldwin Sligo film and this clip I saw on this show.
Are you thinking of like Trolls or something?
I don't know.
Like that troll maybe it was animation? Something.
Maybe it was a troll thing. It looked kind of trollish, to be honest with you. But I
no. This is like
anyway,
this is like a live action girl no, I remember revenging you sent me the trailer. Her mother. Oh, you did see? Oh yeah, you watched the trailer. Yeah, yeah. Alec Baldwin isn't in it for long, but you know, Irish films need a little bit of a.
Yeah.
You know, the last few years, any Irish film always has some American in it, just to be like, come watch the film. But no, it's really good. Like I really enjoyed it. It's just good fun silliness with the right amount of like modern twist in it, kind of being, I wouldn't say masked in, but just being like, is the real story is about this woman called Pixie, but you know, it's almost everything around it is has that stereotypical feel of like these two lads on the run, the gangsters are after them, they somehow got a bag of drugs, they're like, oh Jesus, you know what I mean? It's almost like a script we wrote back in college, in case you know what I'm talking about. You know, in one way it's so stereotypical, but then like right in the nugget of the film is its own very modern original concept about Pixie and her story throughout this whole thing, and her character's amazing, and watching the story and what, you know, what she's going through is brilliant, and it has a very Irishness to it, just the sense of humor and the priests with guns and the whole drug thing in Sligo. It's brilliant. It is good fun. Great actors in it. It's just good
well,
fun.
That's good.
It was
that's
great.
A good recommendation for an Irish film. Thank God.
Yeah, we're in there.
We covered a lot of films.
We made it an Irish film in 2020, baby.
I know, yeah. Well, there was a few that came out in between lockdowns and stuff like that. But, you know, yeah, it was a tough year. I think a lot of people probably postponed stuff. I know the Phil Lynott film was supposed to come out on Boxing Day, Songs for a While You're Away. Mm. But I think Eleanor Tiernan, I think her name is. I might have gotten that wrong, but she directed a very good documentary that I think got nominated for a BAFTA or something. Certainly an Irish, an IFTA. About the, you know, that satellite that they sent away, and it's like the furthest object we've ever sent. She directed a documentary about that. It's very good.
We watched that together.
I think we did, and
didn't
we went with Laura into the cinema.
Yeah,
didn't
with
we?
Laura. No, we in went to Trinity.
Went to Trinity.
Or were you there? Me, I know. I remember Niall definitely being there, and Laura. Yeah. I thought you were there too. We went to Trinity. And we went into one of these buildings inside Trinity, and there was like a private screening, and we had like loads of questions with the director.
Maybe you did go and I didn't go. I remember seeing it, but I think it was in the IFI. That's my memory. Maybe I was witches. Maybe I was there and I forget.
It was fascinating,
But she's a great director, and she's directed a film about Phil Lynott.
Amazing.
I'm dying to see it. I'm sure after the lockdown it's going to be out. They put it over. They have posters everywhere. They have Phil in his face on the side of a load of buses in town. So
great.
I'm going to have to take out the camera and at least try and take a photo with one of these posters while they're up, you know, on Talbot Street or something. But it looks good. It looks, and they have loads of old interviews of him, you know, that they resurfaced or got out of archives and stuff.
Nice.
So I think that's it. That's the main ones. There was a few other films that came out this year, but it wasn't an amazing year for film, you know. Most of the stuff got cancelled.
No, Hollywood's gone bankrupt. James
big
Bond.
Year.
I'm excited to see the new James Bond. I'm curious.
I'm excited to see it. I think it'll be good fun. I think I worry about how much money it's going to make, because the giant hype and the build up, and then they had to cancel it twice. You know what I mean? It's kind of lost that steam, and it's Daniel Craig's last one. And
But there's a thing. Warner Brothers are trying to leak, or not leak, but they want to put up their whole library. I don't know if they're making their own streaming service, but they want to put up everything. And this will include the whole James Bond franchise. Now, I don't know if they're going to make their own, or I think there's been talks about who's going to buy it. Obviously, Disney Plus is massive. Amazon Prime. HBO's got their own thing now. There's a few others. Obviously, Netflix, though. So it's like, who's going to buy the rights for James Bond and have the whole catalogue? That's the
next.
That's
like 25 films. I think about that 26
film. Maybe I think this would be the 27th. Is that
something? It's around that number. It's a lot. It's a lot of films. They make one every 2, 3, or 4 years, depending on the year. But it's a lot.
And what are they going to do next? You know what I mean? Like, you know, everyone's kind of wanting James Bond to be, to kind of take the lead in having a bit more of a. Not that he can't be a white English guy, but you know what I mean? Just like taking a more of a modern twist. I think we've seen over the last few years, Idris Elba's name being pushed forward, and he would be a kick-ass James Bond. You know what I mean?
He would be good. He would be good, but I do hear people complaining, saying like he's still going to be the guy going around chatting up the girls and shooting people in the face. So there's other people who want to subvert it entirely and do something else. That's up. I can't see them pushing the boat out too far, because this is like a multi, I guess, billion-dollar franchise at this point. There's too many. These companies like don't want to squander copyright like that, you know, a franchise like that. They want to fucking bring in the cash. So they might, maybe they'll pick a new actor, like maybe a more diverse actor, but I don't think they're going to have like Mrs. James Bond, you know, turning the tide on the men or something.
But that's okay, isn't it?
It is okay. I just don't think they're going to do it. I'd be very surprised. It would be good if they did it. I mean, why not? We've had enough James Bond. I don't think.
True. Yeah. You know
what I mean, like they changed the gender. Another of version. Doctor Who and stuff.
Another version. I mean, do you know what's funny? I still think, was it Ocean's 15? I don't know what it was, but you know the recent Ocean's that came out.
Ocean's 8.
Ocean's 8. Okay, they went back and they went down in numbers, but like
they went down and just
Ocean's 8 is excellent. It's good. Really fucking good. I haven't seen it since it came out, but I remember thinking, oh, this isn't like the Ghostbusters thing where they're literally just like, you know, companies are like, oh, people like women now, so we'll put women in our films and then everything will be okay. You know what I mean? Like, they actually put effort into it and it's a good film. It's great. Ocean's 8 is fantastic. I feel like a lot of production companies got lazy. I feel like they got lazy and they were like, they were trying to look like they gave a shit, but they didn't, if that made any sense.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, the Ghostbusters one was disappointing. I don't think it was as bad. Everybody picked on that film for some strange reason. I don't think the memory of it is going to be bad as that first reaction. I think it's just like not an amazing film, but most of these Hollywood films aren't.
Yeah, true.
So like, this, you know what I mean? They're already planning another Ghostbusters. I did see that somewhere. They're planning to bring out another one. I don't know if they're going to do an all-female cast or if it's going to follow on from the new ones. I don't know what the plan is, but I'm sure it'll be better. The Ocean's 8 film, though, is that on Netflix? Did I see that on Netflix recently advertised? I feel like I did.
You might have. Yeah, maybe, and that's what re-jogged my memory. Maybe I was seeing it on Netflix and I was like, that film's so good.
I might watch that soon, because I remember when me and Anna were in the cinema years, probably a year ago, we saw a trailer for it and we both kind of thought like, oh, we should check it out. And I think I saw it on Netflix the other day and now you're singing its praises.
Give it a go. It is really good fun. As it should be. That's kind of my point. It just feels like some of these things are like slapping on, just like, let's just slap on a different gender or a different color, but not actually like think about making something good. And you're right, there's plenty of things in Hollywood that just aren't good anyway, and I guess that's the point. They're just making more shit, you know, like Charlie's Angels. I remember, speaking of just kind of like these action films like the James Bonds, and like, well, maybe James Bond doesn't need to recreate itself, maybe we just need more things like it. Charlie's Angels were fantastic films. I don't know if I watched them now would I be like, this is muck, but when I was a teenager I thought those films were epic. And not just because they were hot girls kicking ass, but like, they were I just thought they were great films. I thought they were smart. I thought they were sexy. I thought
they are great fun films. You're right. And Bill Murray is in it as well.
He's Q or whatever his name is.
It has a great cast. But yeah, no, you're right. Those films have their moments as well. I think they're kind of forgotten about a bit. I don't know why. Maybe they just don't. For some reason, they don't have that lasting power.
It was remade recently.
Yeah.
With like a whole new cast of young girls in it. Kirsten Stewart. Young women. They're not girls in it. They're like 20 something, maybe even mid 20s. But like, yeah, Kirsten Stewart and two others. I don't know. Haven't given that a go. But anyway, enough talking about these action films.
The only other thing I was going to say about you just before we wrap up, about the Warner Brothers thing, I did read a bit about that, and the director of, you know, he did Arrival, the new Blade Runner film, Denis Villeneuve, I don't know how to pronounce his name, he was very upset because he's directing the new Dune film that's based on the Frank Herbert book.
That looks... epic, holy fuck.
I know, yeah. I've been very excited about this because you remember David Lynch had a film that came out in the 80s of Dune, and it bombed. It did not do well. It was slated by the critics. Even he hates the film. It kind of got ruined by the studio. But the book that it's based on is a very famous science fiction book. And when I hear they were going to remake it, I read the book last year thinking it would be out already, but the book's amazing. It's really like you could turn it into like Game of Thrones almost. You know, you could really make it epic, but they've decided to make it into two films in the cinema. But basically what's happened now is with this whole Warner Brother thing, Warner Brothers gonna release their whole catalog for 2020-21
be online then.
They're going to release it in the cinema and online at the same time. Oh. So, and basically, Denis Villeneuve, I can't fucking pronounce it. He wrote a letter, and you can get it. If you go into Vanity Fair, type his name on Vanity Fair in, and he wrote an essay that they published, and it's really, really good. And he's basically explaining that, like, you know, once it gets released online, it's going to be instantly pirated. That the only way to protect against piracy, especially when you're having huge films that cost like $300-400 million to make, is to have that cinema release. So then people have to go see it into the theaters. You pay more money. It's a bigger experience. It's a better experience.
He's right, and he's saying that
Dune, the scale that they made this Dune film on, it's supposed to be like an epic, you know, like Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah,
it's on this epic scale. And he's saying that the way Warner Brothers have decided to change their model and what the pandemic is doing is threatening that cinema will ever be able to live on this scale again. So that's the only thing that really scares me going forward, and the impact of cinema. I think we're always going to have good content online. There's always going to be good indie films, but this sort of really big budget, you know, I'm not talking about Avengers. Now and again, a film like this, like Dune, you know, something that's not just a franchise, it actually has meat behind it. It's based on a good book. It's a really talented director who's been building up to something for a while. You know what I mean? So I hope it survives. I'll definitely go to the cinema. I mean, if they open up the IMAX in Cineworld again, I don't think it will be open next year, but if it does open, I'll definitely go see it in IMAX.
See, that's the problem, Graham, isn't it? I mean, like, when would they be releasing this in 21? And, like, the coronavirus is still going on. We're on a second new evolved wave of the coronavirus that isn't as deadly but is more spreadable. And so, like, more people, like, you know what I mean? Like, are they really going to open up?
But they might just say, like, okay, you know, if we're coming out of a lockdown and at a certain month, you know, they kind of see, because Europe has kind of been roughly together with their waves, and then they say, okay, March is the month, middle of March we release it in the cinema for a week, and then it goes up onto the streaming.
Not
going to
get the numbers they want, are they? Because they're going to open up the cinema and they're going to have like a few seats in between people, and then a few
they won't get
front.
It out of the cinema. They'll make a bit of bob out of the cinema, but they're really getting people to move onto their streaming service. That's what they're really doing. And the cinema thing's almost like a bonus. It's like a way to advertise it or something, you know what I mean?
Look, it sucks, but they have to make their money. Obviously, the long game would be a better thing to play, because then things like the cinema would actually get to survive, but they need to make the money back off the amount of money they spent on this film, or you can never make another film like this again. Do you know what I mean? So I don't think keeping the cinemas open is necessarily the wisest thing. It sucks watching it on a TV, but I don't know, maybe people will just have more like projectors at home or get bigger TVs, you know what I mean? It sucks. But the movies won't be made at all if there's no money to be made out of them.
Yeah.
So it's a weird double-edged sword. I don't know. I would, now with the idea of cinema dying off, which it kind of has been the last few months anyway, it would suck to think. It has since
the pandemic. It was always kind of struggling, but there was always room for cinema, for big cinema, certainly with the Avengers. Like, that pulled in so much money, billions and billions. So there was always room for these big films to have theatrical releases and not go online straight away, but that's kind of been killed now. It's just like online has completely taken over because there's no competition anymore.
But you're so right as well. Like, even watching the trailer for this ad, you're like, that's not just a film, it looks like an event, it looks like an epic like an epic out of this world masterpiece, and you're buying a ticket to an experience, and that's what you want, I guess, with the cinema. You kind of want it to feel like this niche experience where you sit in a room and it's bigger than you, and you're watching this fucking whatever spaceship in a desert or whatever the hell, and that beautiful man with the hair is running, you know what I mean?
Timothée,
and then you got
Chalamet, all the weird last names in this film,
and then you got that beautiful one, what's her name, and she's like running, and do you know her name?
Is that was she in Tenet? Is it the same woman who was in
No, I'm not talking about the Tenet one. I'm talking about The Last Showman or something like that. Her one.
The Last Showman? With
Jack Human.
Jack Human. Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Jackman.
He is a huge Jackman,
Speaking of Christmas films, we watched The Prestige over Christmas.
That was advertised a lot on Netflix, which is one of my favourite films.
Just while you're talking about the huge Jackman, he's quite big in that.
Him and Christian Bale going head to head. Fucking love that film. That could be my favorite Christopher Nolan film.
They're all pretty fucking great. They are great films, you know what I mean? They all offer something different. But anyway, you were saying, like, remember that time we went to see 2001? We saw it in 70.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? We went together.
I think we did. Yeah. Where in IFI was it?
IFI.
Yeah, we did,
That was like, and how good it looked in 70, and the fucking sound was like, got blasted out of it. That was like a proper experience where it was like, no matter how good the film is, it's not going to be as good on a computer screen or at home, even if you have a fucking 50-inch, a 60-inch, you know what I mean? That experience of being in the sweaty cinema surrounded by people was special, you know what I mean?
That is special.
You should read that essay. He talks about kind of a communal storytelling. Kind of this idea of it's therapeutic for society to reflect on itself and to do that in a communal way where we all sit together and we watch the film together as a tribe or something.
Yeah, going back to that word, just experience, I think, you know, being able right now to just open up my laptop and with a mate or even like with Ray, you know, my girlfriend, I go up on this on Zoom and we're watching it together, you know, it's good. But then, you know, every now and then, me less so, not that I won't do it, but she'll, you know, she'll be looking at her phone or her sister comes in or just distractions. Yeah. You're not in it. You can pause it. You can go back. You can be like, let's watch the next episode now instead of this one. You can, like, it's great. You're so spoiled for choice, but then you're not even really in it.
Ruin it for yourself.
You walk into a cinema where you've got a ticket. You take a seat and there's, like, whatever, 100 people around you. And the doors, like, they lock you in. They're like, good luck. You know what I mean? And then, like, the fucking Dolby surround sound and this wide screen and a monkey's flinging a bone into the air. You're like, God bless this experience. I'm here. Like, I'm locked. Yeah. I'm locked in, I'm strapped in for the next hour and a half to 2 hours to three if it's a fucking whatever, Libithian, whatever it's called. What's his other film called?
What, Barry Lyndon?
Yeah, if you fucking, you know what I mean? Don't lock me in a room with Barry Lyndon. I don't want to watch that movie. No. But it's beautiful. It's a painting. It's a living painting. But yeah, no, it's just an experience that I don't think we'll ever properly get with streaming, because streaming's too close to social media, where you can kind of just flick it on, flick it off. It's not as intimate.
I hope that we can live in a future where we have both, really, because everything you said about, you pointed out some positive things, about like streaming services. So I just hope we can have both, because it'd be a shame to lose one, i.e. cinema.
I mean, one of my goals in life would be to have something that's played in the cinema. And apparently it was, I just never went and saw it. But I'd like to do it again. Dissipation, my short film, was actually shown in the underground cinema somewhere. And I remember seeing the poster online and being like, they never fucking told me. I would have went with the cast. Anyway, but that could have been like a whole night out. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Any excuse. But look, that's one of my goals. You know what I mean? I'd still like that to exist on some level. And it probably won't be a Dune film, but it'd be something I'd like to think, where I'm like, what the fuck will I do now that this goal is achieved? I'm just going to have to figure out something. I don't know.
Still a good goal company to have. There's still...
it's absurd.
Film festivals will always exist, and there will be cinemas to some extent, but it might become such a niche thing. It's not like, let's pop to the cinema. It's like, let's go to the one art cinema or the one film festival that's on a year, and then that's the only opportunity.
Yeah, but then vinyl, it comes around full circle, Graham. Do you know what I mean?
Our kids
will be like really into the idea of like, let's go to the cinema. And it's like, okay, you know, and they make it like really fashionable.
So. that would be cool.
Yeah.
As long as he stays alive.
Hey.
All right, man.
God bless film.
We're nearly at
2020.
An hour 40 now.
Our
marathon film.
Some shite, a lot of shite happened in this year, but one thing that was birthed from its bosom was this podcast with you. You're a great co-host. Thank you for steering the ship in the right direction.
Well, you steered it just as much as I did. Thanks for everything.
I'm just a drunk pirate.
With Captain Morgan in his boo,
trying to get the sales. But I think we steered something. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm really happy with what this podcast has become. I like what we've done with it, and I'm excited to see what we do with another 25 episodes. What the fuck?
Me too. Yeah, I think hopefully we'll have plenty more in January. If it's a quiet January, we can bust out a few more. Mm-hmm. Have a bit of fun, whatever new releases come our way. But anyway, thanks a million for everything so far, Jay. It's been a great experience, and life saving during a difficult lockdown craziness 2020.
Hell yeah!
So, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, and thank you for listening, everyone that does.
Thanks for all the listeners for listening this year. Anybody who tuned in, most appreciated. All right.
Goodbye. You are the weakest.
Bye bye.
See you.